Was this the kind of thing that was reflected in your business, in your life there?
Absolutely, absolutely. We like to see life as a gamble, and we represent the manifestation of that in the material plane. And people come here and they gamble. Life is a gamble. You take a chance. You win, you lose. Hey, that's it.
We're going to, of course, tonight be moving into another year on New Year's Eve, and here...
We have no clocks in Las Vegas. We have no calendars. We don't know what time it is. We don't know what day it is. And frankly, we don't care. We kind of like to create a timeless, infinite environment here that belies the very notion of minutes, hours, seconds, days, weeks, months, years. Big deal, you know?
Yeah, but you can't deny that we're all getting older by the minute, hour, second, and year.
You know, you people out in the outside world, what you don't understand is that age is an attitude. It's a state of mind. You know, you're only as old as you feel.
Well, but don't you, I mean, it has to be said that people do feel older as their life goes on, doesn't it? You can't totally suspend the aging process just by locking them up in a room with a lot of chandeliers and machines and
well,
covering up the clocks.
You know, I don't know what kind of health coverage you have, but there are doctors there that can... intercept the aging process and make you look whatever age you want to look. And you know, a lot of people, they are only as old as they feel. Like, for example, how old do you feel?
52.
52, see what I mean. And how old are you?
52.
Now, is that a coincidence or what?
I
mean, that's amazing. But you know, like, I'm 65, but I only feel 17.
How old do you look, though? I've never actually seen you. I was turned on to you by somebody who knew about you and said you might have some wisdom to contribute here this morning, and I'm, of course, still hoping for that. But
well, it's true. You know, I believe in a lot of the shamanistic religions, and I don't allow anyone to photograph me.
Is that a fact? I'm glad you brought up the question of religion, because I understand that, you know, a lot of people have an image of Las Vegas as a place that's, so to speak, out of the American mainstream. And yet, one time I was there, I was kind of surprised by the number of churches in town. What do you attribute that to? It's sort of like a normal community in a way. I mean, people live there, work there, go to school there, go to church there.
I don't know how much you know about philosophy, but one of the prime tenets of Christianity is Pascal's wager, where you bet that God exists, and if he does, you win, and if he doesn't, so what? You know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
In Vegas, we have lots of churches because a lot of people go to church to pray to win.
You mean that's what people are doing in those churches? I remember one Sunday morning, I saw a huge number of people coming out of a church, and it never occurred to me that they were in there. I mean, you're not supposed to pray to win, are you?
What, do you think people go to pray to lose, you fool? My God. Now, dysfunctional people, they go and pray that they're going to lose, but most of us in Vegas, we pray that we're going to win.
What do you do with dead people there? I mean, there is a desert. It must be kind of hard to... Do you have, like, cemeteries?
No, we don't admit that people die. That's one of the rules here in Vegas. People don't die. They just get very still.
And if they died at a card table, for example, how would you know the difference?
We wouldn't. And we wouldn't force them to leave until they had spent all of their money.
And
even then, we might give them credit.
Well, I mean, wouldn't there be... I guess the powerful air conditioning would take care of any kind of human decay, because a lot of the people I've seen inside the casinos in Las Vegas do seem to me to be in a rather advanced state of decay.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's true. we use a lot of room deodorizers and cologne. You know, we have free cologne for the players. Because a lot of people, they break out in these cold sweats, and it can get nasty. It can get funky.
You know, we're getting a little off our topic here. I know you want to...
far be it from me to accept responsibility for that.
No, I don't want you to accept responsibility. I'm supposed to be running this so-called show here.
Yeah, you are somewhat of a moderator, I'm told.
I'm a very moderate person in all ways. Everybody who knows me will testify to that. I was hoping I could get a sort of your point of view about the 80s, as it were, because everybody is sort of summing them up, you know, writing, what is it that symbolizes the decade? Is it MTV? Is it the VCR? Is it the fax machine? Is it the microchip? Is it cable television?
I'll tell you what it is. It's Manny Noriega. And right now we have an offer out to him. We're trying to get him to come up here and work and be a greeter. A lot of people have heard about his red underwear, and they quite sincerely are excited. And they would like Manny to sort of walk up and down the strip in his red underwear and kind of greet the people.
Well, it seems to me that if you're going to get Noriega there at this point, you're going to have to negotiate with the Pope. Are you prepared to do something like that?
We would like to get him, too, because we understand he has an incredible wardrobe. And the two of them together with Ron, we'd like to get Ron and his wife, Nancy, just say no. But what is she just saying no to? Food, probably. I mean, the woman is a stick.
Look, I don't want to get into that right now, but
I don't want to get into it either.
Talking about negotiations.
Seems a little crass. But
for Las Vegas.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The Japanese bought him for $2 million. We got to offer about $5 million out to him now.
The Reagans.
The Reagans. We want the Reagans, we want the Pope, we want the Noriegas.
Well, of course, Noriega you can have for $1 million. How much do you think the Pope would go for?
I don't know. It depends. What we're trying to do is we're trying to offer him the entire city of Las Vegas to become part of the Papal Empire.
Well, that would mean that anybody who got into trouble theoretically could take diplomatic refuge there, just
yes,
as Noriega
has
in
a
Panama.
A lot of people take sanctuary in Vegas, and this would sort of raise that level of sanctuary a notch or two.
So you would, in effect, you know, all these cities like Berkeley and these liberal towns around the United States have been passing these sanctuary resolutions, declaring themselves city of sanctuary, but you would actually, if you were part of the Vatican, become a de facto sanctuary.
Oh, absolutely.
And what would you see we are doing some of what I hope we would do here now. We're looking forward a little bit into the 90s. If Las Vegas did become an entire city of sanctuary and a part of the Vatican, what would you see happening there? Wouldn't you get a kind of an undesirable element that you wouldn't want in Las Vegas, or doesn't that exist?
I don't know. You know, like, do you believe in what is your attitude towards human beings, humanity? Do you believe in sin, that kind of a thing? Because we see everybody as a beautiful human being. As long as they have money, they're a beautiful human being and one of God's children.
And that's how you determine beauty, by money. That is something that I think we can certainly say came out of the
80s. And you would probably deride that, you and your people. You would probably mock that, say that wasn't an accepted concept. But I'll tell you, it is the primal doctrine of Calvinism. And as well as being a very Catholic-oriented city, we're very Calvinistically oriented as well. You know, Calvin believed in the elect, and he said the only way you could tell the elect was if they had money and were successful, then they were going to go to heaven.
He did say that.
He did say that, and we believe it.
Well, I yield to nobody in my admiration for people like Donald Trump and Lee Iacocca and all the other famous
saints.
Totems of the 80s.
They are saints.
You would, if Las Vegas does in fact become a part of the Vatican and you have, as mayor of Las Vegas, de facto relations with the Pope, you would recommend Donald Trump and Lee Iacocca for sainthood?
Not Lee Iacocca.
No, why not?
I mean, this guy runs a corporation, but does he have money? I don't think so.
You don't think he has...
He's on salary. He's an employee. Employees can't become saints.
I guess that explains why we have so few saints anymore these days. Who else would you see for sainthood if it was up to you? Are there any other...
Well, we need some women, and I would definitely include Imelda Marcos.
As a saint?
Yes.
And why would that be?
Because she has money. What are we talking about here?
Well, you do have certain value system, I must say that. I mean, probably there are a lot of people listening to KPFA right now who wouldn't agree with you, but you definitely do have a value system.
Yeah, they're probably communists. And where are they now, huh?
Where are they now?
There are no more communists, let's face it. It's over. It's finished. There's one.
People say the Kennedy assassination and a lot of the agitation ranging right up until the Contra efforts and the whole situation in Miami with the right-wing Cubans, all of that is because they want to get the island back and put back casinos. Would you be prepared to... speculate as to what that might do to the society in Cuba?
That sounds like one of those conspiracy theories, excuse me. That sounds like one of those conspiracy theories that Paul Krasner would invent for his magazine.
Has he played Las Vegas? How do you know him? Now, for example, you've got a pretty wide cultural reference.
Well, you know, you got to keep in touch. You got to be aware of what's happening. Mr. Krasner, of course, works for us.
Paul Krasner works for Las Vegas?
Yeah, every weekend he comes up and puts on some of Liberace's old clothes and works as a greeter at the Flamingo.
And his employment presumably wouldn't be threatened if General Noriega came there?
No. We have many, many hotels on the Strip. We need many, 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 many greeters.
Uh-huh. What exactly does a greeter do? How do you, obviously it's not somebody who would, no matter how successful, get recommended for sainthood, but what is the nature of their job?
It is possible. It is possible that a greeter could become a saint.
How would you see that happening? What's the kind of scenario?
You know, the greeters are in very tight with the maitre d's. What am I saying, maitre d's? That sounds like we got restaurants here. We have places to eat, but God knows we don't have restaurants. But I have been talking to Alice Waters, trying to get her up here to open something that could be a little bit more substantial.
Well, of course, eating is another aspect of the 80s, especially here in the Bay Area. A lot of people ate their way through the 80s.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that that's why they were called the 80s, because of the Edies. You know, the 80s were the Edies for them. Is that?
Yeah, I think this is a result of the munchies.
And where did that come? That's something, as I recall, if I can think back that far, that came, I believe, from drug use.
Right. So many drugs were consumed that people got hungry.
Uh-huh. For more drugs?
For more drugs and for food.
So you would sort of associate food binging with the crack epidemic or something like that?
No, not exactly. I would... Well, you said it. You're quite a character, you know.
Well, I guess I could say the same about you. Before we let you go here, which...
What do you mean, let me go? Well, I'm contracted for 3 hours on this show.
The show doesn't last 3 hours. I'm afraid somebody misinformed you. And as far as your contract goes, this is non-commercial radio. I know you don't have that type of thing up there, but I'll explain it to you when we get off the air.
What kind of a deal is that? How do you support yourself?
Well, basically, we don't. We've been having 41 years here of not supporting ourselves so far on KPFA, and who knows, maybe we'll have another couple into the 90s. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about politics, because you are a political figure yourself. You're an elected...
You know that everything is political.
Okay, that's what Bob Dylan was saying just before you came on. What do you mean by
that?
He
said that, huh?
Yeah. What did you mean by that?
Now, Bob, we've been trying to get Bob into one of the casinos. Uh-huh. The lounge act. That harmonica and the guitar and that funny hair and why we think it would be hot.
You don't think that his generation was sort of not the type of people to go to Las Vegas in a casino?
Who cares if his generation would go to the casinos? He would be kind of an icon, you know. People would come and take a look at him just to see what the guy looks like.
And that's what's important, the surface, right?
Yeah. We're in the show business.
Uh-huh.
Don't you understand that? It's all show business.
Everything.
Everything is show business.
Even politics?
The invasion of Panama was show business.
In what sense?
What do you mean, in what sense?
Well, what sense can you give to the invasion of Panama, for one thing?
It's
and what
a show. It was on TV. Didn't you see it?
I don't watch TV a lot, and the little I watched was so horrifying that I turned it off right away, but I didn't think it was...
Hey, the people loved it down there.
What about the ones that got killed?
They're gone. Can they complain? I don't think so.
So that's what you think the attitude of the Bush administration might have been towards civilian casualties, for example?
Oh, absolutely. Once they're dead, they're dead. What can you do about it?
Out of sight, out of mind, huh?
My God, man. It's like, what do you want? Raise them from the dead? What do you want? Nobody to die? Don't you understand that death is part of life?
I guess...
God, you people are really unbelievable.
I guess, in a sense, we are. If I could get you on politics, you are an elected official.
What if people didn't die? This place would be definitely overcrowded.
Las Vegas?
No, the whole world.
Oh, the world, yeah. Well, right now we have a population problem. But I wanted to try to get you on a... Now, you're an elected official. I'm not clear if you're a Democrat or a Republican.
That's why we believe in gambling. People should gamble instead of having sex.
Why is that?
Because then there'd be less people. Gambling helps to keep down the population.
Uh-huh. And isn't sex itself a gamble, however, though? I mean, you could say.
Well, now it is, apparently. But I don't know.
That's a different generation.
I'm celebratory.
You're celebratory.
Yeah.
But what's your political party? That's what I haven't been able to get out of you here. I know you're an elected official, so you probably are a Democrat or a Republican. Am I correct there?
I don't know. I'm whatever they want me to be.
Well,
I'm a public servant. I don't care. You know, I have no personal preference. I do whatever the people want, the people who pay for me.
Well,
just like George.
Well, and wait a minute. You're not saying that you could be bought, are you?
What have we been talking about all morning?
I mean, are you...
Buying and selling, winning, losing. Don't you understand the essence of this country? Don't you understand any...
Are we being cut off on this thing? Did you not pay your phone bill? God, I think we lost him. Have we lost him? That is typical, isn't it? Well, there he goes. What a guy. Pinky Flamingo, mayor of Las Vegas, summing up the 80s and giving us a little glimpse into the 90s. Was that too crass for you out there, you KPFA listeners? I mean, was that... did we get any wisdom out of this at all? I chose him as a guy I thought we could get something from, and maybe we did, and maybe we didn't. Who knows? What do you have to say about it? The 80s, the 90s, crass material, the environment. Was he wrong? Was he right?